Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Wednesday. It's Thursday. Good Thursday morning to you. I have no idea what day of the week it is. Welcome to my brain. We were talking last night. My friends and I got together to preview the Walk in Her Sandals journal that's coming out to go with the Walk in Her Sandals, Ave Maria Press, Kelly Walquist's new book that she has co-written with just a gaggle of awesome women. This Lisa Hendy has something in there, and they were here. I'll put the link in the show notes. But Stephanie Lanson was here, and who else was in there? Sarah Christmeyer. I'm like, I can picture their faces. It's just this great book for Lent for women that, though men can read it, we were talking the other day and we said, you know, if men read this book, will they be able to help breastfeed their children? No, I'm sorry, that won't happen. You will not start lactating. You will not change at all. You will just stay you and be a little closer to Christ. Nothing wrong with that. And we walk in our sandals. It's this new book for Lent. Scripture study and a beautiful historical fiction novel that goes throughout it. Reflection, incredible questions by Dr. Carol Younger, and just a great, incredible book. So there's a journal that Sarah Christmeyer wrote to go with it. My girlfriends and I got together last night and we were going through the chapter one and just checking out the questions. Love it, by the way. So easy to use. It just really enhanced our journey with the book. And at some point we started talking about men and women being different and same, and mostly in our thinking process. And I don't know where I heard this. It was quite a while ago, but the greatest kind of analogy or visual for how men think versus how women think. And this person took food. Food's always a good analogy for me. I get food. I understand where we're going. We're talking about food. He said, think of a waffle. You know, all the little tiny compartments, nice, neatly laid out, structured with its own little department. And that's how a man's brain works. It's a nice little waffle. You think about pouring syrup. You put one into each square. You might leave a few empty. Like, it's just, men's brains are just very systematic. And then a woman's brain, he likened to spaghetti. Yep. Been there, right? Spaghetti. We have multiple thoughts at multiple times. You've seen me do it here as I'm trying to talk live on the radio, and I am thinking 7,000 things in my head at once. But I can almost picture the words sometimes, you know, like there's a log jam trying to come out my mouth. And they're all kind of fighting for territory. Like, no, let me out first. It's a burning building in here. Get me out. And it doesn't always work out for me. Anyway, so my spaghetti brain is really happy to have you here today. And we're going to be talking about Psalm 23. I have no idea why Psalm 23 has been on my heart. Well, I do now after I spent this morning praying on it. But when I first started to think about it, I have to write a piece, an article for Catholic Stand. That's one of the places I'm going to start writing. Yeah, my deadline was yesterday. Shh, don't tell anybody. My eczema was flaring really bad and typing was painful and I was distracted and there's a dog here and squirrel girl and dogs. Yeah, we don't get along. Actually, we do get along, but I was just thinking about Psalm 23. I'm like, what can I write for this piece for Catholic Stand? And the Psalm 23 was in my head. And I really am very drawn to this, the idea of the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, and why Jesus called himself the good shepherd, and why we see these analogies, these images used throughout the Gospels. Of course, there are quite a few famous shepherds in the scriptures. There's Moses and Abraham, Jacob, the prophet Amos, and King David. Many of the people who had been, who would have been following Jesus. I mean, think about the first people who came to see him at his birth, shepherds. So this was obviously a very popular career of Jesus's time. We hear him talking about fishermen, carpenters, shepherds. You can kind of, you know, see the time of which he lived, the people, their vocations, their careers, what they were doing. And they would understand these analogies. But they stand the test of time. And I was like, why does it stand the test of time? Can I, 2017 years, more than that, less than 2000. Well, all right, 2000 years, say spaghetti brain. 2000 years later, why am I still able to read Psalm 23? And that's it goes by the title, the Divine Shepherd. Like, why am I able to read the Divine Shepherd, Psalm 23, you'll recognize it when I start to read it. It starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." and why am I able to think of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and still be comforted by this, still understand and see Jesus in it? Why is that? So I decided that was what I was going to write about, and I was going to dive into it. And I looked up on the internet, handy dandy internet, the role of a shepherd. You know, what does a shepherd do for the sheep? And that's going to be very fascinating. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But I'm just blown away by this imagery and how perfect it is, even 2,000 years later. Very excited. And then as I continued to mull it over, to read about it, to see the different scriptures. We're going to also look at those where we see the shepherd and the pastoral. Priests are called pastors. Like, that comes from the pastoral, from the shepherd. They shepherd their flock. All that beautiful imagery. And the more that I read about it and the more that I discerned, you know, what does this have to do with us? I was led to 1 Peter 5. We're going to read that, which is a total godsdienst because I went and spent time in adoration yesterday. And that's all that I read. And it wasn't my Bible, so there was no notes in it. That was just where the Holy Spirit led me. And then the cross references for Psalm 23 today in my dedicated Bible, Ignatius Press, brought me over to 1 Peter 5. I love when that happens. Like, this is a big book. For those connections to happen, for the Lord to lead you in your prayer through the scriptures to the same place, you know that he's got a message for you. The other message that kept coming up yesterday was 2 Corinthians 4, and for this light and momentary affliction that keeps coming up as well. So all of this kind of ties together. And at the bottom line, at the base of all of this, like, what does this have to do? What message is the Lord trying to share today? Trust. It's all about trusting God, which is so easy, right? Like, that's a piece of cake. It's not easy to trust. I struggle to trust people I can see, never mind a loving deity that I cannot. He makes himself known in the God-sentences. I can feel him in my soul and my heart. If I'm able to, I see him in the sacraments. I see him in the others of people around me, and the poor and the needy and the people who love me. You see him everywhere, but yet, because you can't see him himself, we can't look upon his face until we are, until we're dead, basically. It's hard to maintain that trust, to not let fear and anxiety take over you, especially if you're anxiety girl like me. Remember, I said on Monday, able to leap to the worst conclusion in a single bound. That's me. I need a cape and a big, A for my chest, anxiety girl, an AG, which happens to be my initials. Hey, that's kind of funny. Yeah. Spaghetti, it's all going on here. But we're gonna learn about trusting the Lord. Let me share the psalm with you before we get to the commercial break time. This is just beautiful. Just take a minute. I don't know how often you get read to, but here's a little reading for you. It's a very short psalm. The psalms are all written by King David. They're actually songs. They're meant to be sung trust me, not going to sing right now. You're safe. Just going to read. And the heading in my book, again, is the Didache Bible, Ignatius Press, and it's called The Divine Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness in his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I absolutely love this psalm. Such comfort, such hope, such peace. And we're going to dive way deeper into it, into the psalm, into Jesus as good shepherd, into us as sheep, and me as a sheepdog. Oh, I got a great story about that, too. If you enjoy A Seeking Heart and you want to go a little deeper and help a little bit to make A Seeking Heart continue to bring you shows each day, I invite you over to breadboxmedia.com. Click on A Seeking Heart. There's a pull-down tab for the shows. You want to go to A Seeking Heart because there you'll see what I offer to the friends of the show. The friend of the show is offered by each of the shows here on Breadbox. Maybe you want to support another show besides A Seeking Heart. I'm cool with that too. But all of the donations, the sponsorship that you make go directly to me. For $10 or more a month, you become a premium member, and that includes your own choice of your own prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet that Lori Lynch and I make, or in extra entries in every giveaway. I have a mega giveaway coming up very soon. I know I've been kind of behind on them, so we have more. And there's also Google Hangouts that you can come and join in. So go to breadboxmedia.com and click on A Seeking Heart. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are looking today at Psalm 23, which basically we're looking at trusting God. We're looking at Jesus as the good shepherd, how he leads us, how he protects us, guides us. And we're also looking at ourselves as sheep, what it means to have that relationship with the shepherd. Really fascinating stuff. You wouldn't think so, but wait. Stick around. You will see. It's pretty cool. I was such a dork girl reading it. I was in adoration. I can't imagine what people around me must think. First of all, I'm reading this article online on my phone, so I look like I'm just sitting there in adoration on Facebook. And then I'm getting all excited and jotting things down quickly. Anyone who's been with me in adoration has seen me. I am truly like a squirrel in adoration. The really funny story, and then we'll get back to Psalm 23. My friend Darlene and I used to go very late at night, like 3 a.m., to cover an overnight adoration hour at her parish. And one night, it was just her and I in there, and I thought, I'm going to go lay face down, prostrate, right in front of the monster entry, in front of the altar, and I'm just going to lie there and pray. I've always wanted to do it. And it was so peaceful and it was quiet, and I just felt the Spirit moving and the Lord speaking to my heart. And I'm suddenly struck with this really amazing inspiration of something I did not want to forget. The Lord had just spoken a word, and I was like, I don't want to forget this. So I leap up off the floor, like book over to my pen, a notebook that I always have with me and start frantically writing things down. I startled Darlene so badly. She thought something was wrong with me. And then she's like, you're crazed. So you think I would have learned my lesson, right? Don't lay down face first in front of the tabernacle if you're going to be a crazy woman. Or if the spirit inspires you, get up slowly. Nope. A few years later, I am at our new chapel, a new church in our little chapel. Again, I wasn't alone that day. I have to say, I do it only when I'm alone or I'm with a best friend like Darlene. But this time I was just having a really, really tough time in my life. Sometimes when I'm being really oppressed or afflicted with anxiety, or at this point it was a problem I was wrestling with, I couldn't help myself. I just had to get on my face and pray for God's help and his mercy and his grace. And I really didn't care who was in the chapel at the time. So I laid down. I tried to be a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Not showy with it. Like, I went over to the side and laid down. So I was trying not to bother anybody. But again, the Spirit just inspired me, lit a fire in my heart, and I had to write down what I was thinking before I forgot, because I have the attention span, you got it, of a squirrel, and I don't remember things very long. So I bounce up. I thought not that big or that quickly. I thought I had kind of controlled it, and I just sat down and I started to write. Well, a few months after that, I started a Bible study in my home, a new book, and my friend brought a new friend with her. This friend looked at me and she's like, I feel like I've seen you before. I'm like, no, we've never met. It's nice to meet you. And we start to talk, and somehow adoration comes up. And all of a sudden this woman says, oh my gosh, I know exactly where I know you from. You're the crazy lady who lays on your face in adoration and pops up like a jack in the box. Yes, that's me. It's so funny. You think nobody's paying attention to what you're doing, and then you'd be wrong. Because they are. Mm-hmm. But I don't care, because I didn't forget I can't tell you right now what the Holy Spirit said in that moment, but I know somewhere in my 50,000 journals, it's written down for all time. So that someday when I'm reading back through my journals, which I do read back through my journals. I tried to one day, tried to index them all. I didn't get too far. Someday I'll be a wealthy business person who can hire somebody to sit, or get an intern to sit with my journals and be bored to death by reading through them and, and indexing them for me, so that when I want to write an article about trust and the Psalm 123, I don't have to rethink about it. I can just go back to my notes and pick them up. Anyway, so let's get back to Psalm 23, which is the Lord is my shepherd, the divine shepherd. And, I tell you, I use the Didache Bible, D-I-D-A-C-H-E, Didache, and it's out from Ignatius Press, and it was sent to me free to review, and it quickly became my absolute favorite. It's probably the only one that I really use nowadays. It's always with me. It's getting worn and torn, written all over with sticky notes hanging out everywhere. And I just adore this Bible. Why? Because it's got commentaries, and the commentaries are linked to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it's like having two great books in one, kind of like a Reese's peanut butter cup. In this case, the Psalm 23, I want to read to you the commentary, the footnote here. The only problem with the Bible today is that it's really little words. And I took off my glasses. This is one of the best known and most loved Psalms, the commentary reminds us. The sharp, not an easy word for a New Englander to say. Contrast to Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is actually the psalm that Jesus is quoting from on the cross when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you get a chance, jot down somewhere Psalm 22 and go read it. We'll talk about it another day. I definitely want to make a note myself. Like, while we're here, we're talking, let's grab a pen. And I'm going to make a note for Psalm 22, and we will do that during Lent. It's really quite fascinating. because there's a lot of confusion around Jesus's words when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It makes people sometimes uneasy to think God will forsake you, but he won't. Remember, he says in the scriptures, in the Psalms, I will never forsake nor abandon you. So he can't contradict himself, but we'll talk about that another day. So it goes on to say, so it's quite a contradiction from Psalm 22's lament over a seemingly distant God. This psalm portrays God as one who knew the psalmist intimately and was with him on every step of his journey, in every moment of his life. The Lord is a shepherd who looks after all our needs. He is also a most gracious host who exalts us over our detractors, anoints us, and lavishes on us an abundance of goodness and mercy. To live forever with the Lord is our singular goal. This psalm is prayed at Mass on the the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, year C, and on the on the Mass that celebrates our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, in year A. And then it goes on to tell us about a shepherd. This frequent image of a caring and dutiful overseer is symbolic, usually of a king or of God. The shepherd of the sheep is among the metaphors Christ applies to himself, most famously in his self-description as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And he is the same shepherd who goes out to find the one sheep that has strayed from the flock. That's in John 10:11. We should be getting that today, but just in case I don't, John 10:11-16 is the good shepherd. I think that's also the good shepherd. It's going out and getting that one lost sheep. Throughout this psalm, the psalmist, King David, described the profound happiness and joy that exists for those who seek righteousness fervently. Good stuff. Very good stuff. So let's look at the role of a shepherd. Let's start looking at a role of the shepherd and see if you can make these connections along with me to seeing Jesus and how he is truly the good shepherd, and he takes care of his flock, which is us. One of the good things I read is that sheep, though often portrayed as being dumb, are actually not as stupid as we think. So that was good, because I always thought I'm a dumb sheep. I think that I could easily be characterized as a dumb sheep. But ultimately, I think I'm more of the sheepdog. Actually, we're coming up to the end of this segment, so I will talk about the sheepdog. And when we come back, we'll pick up with the role of the shepherd to take care of the sheep. Many years ago, when I started to do ministry, I started 8 years ago this year, and it Reconciled to You is the ministry, reconciledtoyou.com. If you haven't been there to visit lately, the blog has been very active. You've got to check out the 3 unexpected uses of the rosary. That's gone viral. But anyway, I digress again. So unlike me. Anyway, I was spending a night one time praying to the Lord, thinking about this new ministry and kind of starting to panic. I said, Lord, I can't be a shepherd. I don't know enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm afraid to lead your flock. And I love when the Lord is just so straight and succinct with me without missing a beat. I hear in my heart, I am not calling you to be a shepherd, Allison. I just need you to be a sheepdog. Like, yeah, the sheepdog just runs around the flock and directs it towards the shepherd, helps it follow the shepherd where he wants them to go, leading them to the green pastures, to the filling their thirst, all of the things that God wants to give you, that Jesus wants to give you. My job isn't to give you. My job is to lead you, guide you like a sheepdog. Like, oh, I can be a sheepdog. That's easy. That one I got. When you come back, we're going to look at the role of a shepherd. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Hey.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. How do you listen to Breadbox Media? Are you live streaming us online or have you downloaded the app? If you haven't downloaded the app yet, go to breadboxmedia.com and get Breadbox today. Download the app. It's a great way to listen. You can take us wherever you go. Like, don't you just want me to go wherever you are and just kind of haunt you for the day for 1 hour, actually two hours a day, right? Because they replay me at 4 o'clock. I can follow you and we can be buddies. It'd be fun. I can take a ride in the car with you, go on a hike. We can be like, we're married. Oh my goodness. Who's a silly girl today? Me. I know why I'm giddy. You know why I'm giddy? I'm giddy because I'm finally getting my hair done today for, this whole financial thing this last year and me trying to be prudent and, you know, Christmas was coming and I wanted to not spend money on myself. So I haven't had my hair cut or colored in a couple months. I'm starting to look a little bit like a skunk. Just be honest. A little bit like a skunk. I have to keep being very creative with how I wear my hair. And it needs it. It's done. It needs to be just trimmed. So as a girly girl, this stuff makes me giddy. And as soon as I go off air today, I get to go over and get my hair done. I love the pampering part of it too. It's just wonderful. This way. So that's probably why I'm so giddy. And then you're going to start seeing me doing a lot more Facebook Live videos. I'm going to be working with Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, for their Lenten book club, Between the Wines. And again, we're going to be doing Walk in Her Sandals. And I need to do some video work for them. And I keep telling Kelly Walquist, I will get to it as soon as I get my hair done. So let the video production begin. Because today, God willing, it's going to get done. So we were going to look at we are looking at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. But first, we're going to look at the actual roles and responsibilities of a shepherd in relation to its sheep and kind of make this juxtaposition. That's a fun word you don't get to use very often, between Jesus and the shepherd. Role number one. The shepherd is responsible for the welfare and safety of the sheep. It's his job to obviously to find them the green pasture. You lead me to green pastures, to lead us to the things that are good for us, healthy for us, that keep us safe. The next one we're going to look at is being a protector. So we're not going to go too far into the protection from the predators, but basically our welfare, teaching us and guiding us to what's good for us. And sometimes we don't like to be told what's good for us. Like, one of the things about sheep that I think is very interesting is sheep can kind of get myopic, one kind of a single-minded when it comes to eating. Yeah, me too. Perhaps I am more sheep-like than I thought. And they can get on a good piece of grazing into that green grass, and they will just follow the green grass and just eat without really thinking about where they're going. And they think about where sheep are sometimes. They're on the side of the mountain, they're on cliffs, and they fall off. You ever seen the image of our Lord, the Good Shepherd, with the sheep across his shoulders? When a sheep is hurt, when a sheep has gone astray and broken itself by its poor choices, or, you know, maybe sometimes by no fault of its own, the predators come and hurt it. The shepherd not just cares and tends for it, but he leaves it very close to him. He will carry that sheep across his shoulders. And I just love that image. You know, how many times have I made choices that have broken me, or other people have made choices that have broken me, and I'm lame. I just feel, you know, unable to move forward. I'm kind of emotionally disabled sometimes, or physically disabled, if what I'm facing is an illness or an injury. and to know that the Lord does not abandon me in that position, that he puts me over his shoulders and carries me. It makes me think of the footstep poem, which I really don't like. I actually wrote the word footsteps down in my notes. The footprint poem where, you know, there's that image of Jesus, you and Jesus walking along the beach, and you see the footsteps. You look back and you see the footsteps in the sand, and you see all the times that Jesus is walking along with you. And then you get to the hardest part of your life and you only see one set of tracks, and you think, like, why did you leave me? Why are there only one steps? And he says, that's when I carried you. And I think of that when I think of the shepherd. When I am the most broken, God is the most present. That is when he's carrying me. And this weekend we were on the March for Life, and on the bus we were watching God's Not Dead Part 2. And the funny part is I didn't want to watch it at all, but in the end I did take away a lot of great nuggets from it. It's, you know, those movies can be very cheesy. The Protestant faith definitely has a different take on how you're saved. And I have a difficulty with that. Just saying I'm saved and being done. I believe that it's not that easy. I believe that I have to continually turn to God and ask for his mercy and forgiveness, and not beg for it, but turn to him and realize again and again, constant conversion, a constant call to recognize that I am weak and God is strong. Anyway, so I was glad that I watched it, though. One of the things that they talked about, besides Christ as a historic figure, which has been my newest thing in my own teaching, is recognizing that and helping me trust and believe that he existed, was that he was a historic figure. The other thing that they talked about was during her biggest trial, literally, she was in a trial. She says to her grandfather, I feel like God is not listening. Like, I feel like I've been completely abandoned. Like, I just don't feel him right now. And I can relate to that. I've been in situations myself where, you know, things are going terribly wrong and there's problems. And I feel suddenly like I can't feel God. There's no consolation. Where has he gone? And the grandfather says this wonderful line. She's a teacher. So he says, don't you know that during a test, that is when the teacher is quiet? And it's very profound, you know, to understand in that this, the time that God is talking and you can hear the Holy Spirit really profoundly, either through scripture, through prayer, through sacrament, when you're connecting and feeling his presence, that's the learning process. That's the building up of your spiritual muscle process. But at some point, those muscles and that knowledge get tested. You know, I remember the presidential fitness, I hated that award, the presidential fitness certificate that we used to do back in the 70s. And one year I actually made it. I did everything in the challenge and I made it. It was the only year our school decided not to give out medals for. I think it was the last year that they held it. And I was devastated. I'm like, are you kidding? I just busted my butt for the last 7 years learning how to do all this to make this stupid thing. And yeah, that's, you can tell I'm a little bitter because that was a many, many years ago. That was probably 35 years ago and I'm still bitter. So I need to make myself my own little presidential fitness award certificate and put it on my wall. I think they even gave out medals. I didn't get a medal either. Why didn't I grow up in the generation where everyone got a trophy? I truly, clearly did not. So the shepherd is responsible for the welfare of the sheep. He's there to keep them safe when they've gone awry, to take care of them, to hold them close, carry them on his shoulders when they most need him. That's one role. We can totally see that juxtaposition. I'm going to use that word a lot because it's just fun and you don't get to use it very often. The next one, the next role and responsibility of our shepherd to his sheep is protection. Protection from predators, from evil, for our own preservation. There we go. He's there to preserve us, to protect us. Well, of course, I'm already going on to the Jesus. So how does a shepherd protect a sheep? Well, in this article, there's many different ways where he puts them, the fence he puts around them, the dogs that he puts there to be on continual watch. They often will, shepherds will tend sheep together in the same area. So if one falls asleep, there's somebody else there. Of course, they carry guns and things to make loud noises and to take down the predators that come looking for them. Something really cool as we go to commercial, talking about all the shepherds being together. Do you know that the shepherd has a particular call only for himself, and the sheep that are in his flock recognize that call as their shepherds? So you remember in the scriptures where Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice, my sheep will hear me, and they will know that they'll recognize my voice. That's also built on how shepherds actually communicated with their flock. You could have four shepherds and all the flock mixed together, grazing together in the pasture. And if the shepherd, if one shepherd makes his particular noise, his call, his little sheepy know it's him and they will come to him. How cool is that? You know, there's lots of different noises and a lot of different voices trying to call us, you know, in this world and away from God. And we need to learn his voice. The best way to learn his voice is by reading his word. We know what he sounds like when we read his words. So spend more time in scripture. Hope that maybe you'll make that your Lenten mission. Also on your Lenten mission is a walk in her sandals. Look that up, Ave Maria Press. We have one more segment to go, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about Psalm 23, Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and how Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, really does take care of all our needs. And the basic premise, as I delve deeper and deeper into this psalm, is it's trusting in God and trusting that he's there, that he knows our needs, that he cares about us. You know, sometimes I wonder, like, does he hear me? Does he know that I need this? Has he abandoned me? And he promises he's never going to abandon or forsake us. And sometimes it requires us to kind of look back at our on what he's already done and where he's been in our life to know that he's faithful. You know, he's faithful. Somebody had to have created me. I certainly didn't. So it's good, you know, it is really good to think and contemplate someone bigger than us, somebody that's in charge, who's leading us, who's shepherding us. To be a dumb sheep is not such a bad deal, you know, because you're not in charge, you're not in control. And as a control freak, that can be hard for me anyway. I like to think there's a destiny, that I'm in control of my destiny. Of course, the Lord gives me, you know, free will, and I do have some choices, but I like to give it right back to him and say, no, you take it. I'm not really good with the free will thing. I don't really use it responsibly. I need you to take it. My spiritual director, Deacon Jerry, always tells me that I'm willing to give my life to Christ, but I want a prenup. I want a prenuptial agreement. I have some conditions that God's going to have to take care of in order for this to work out for us. I can't be the only one looking to have a prenup with a prenup with God, right? It's not easy letting go of that control. So we're looking at some of the roles and responsibilities of the shepherd as we discern, you know, who God is to us. Like, why did Jesus call himself the Good Shepherd? What was he trying to teach us? And again, the Good Shepherd, you will find, if you want to read on your own, I'm not going to get to it today, John 10, and that's 11 through, I think, might be all of John 10. Yes, it is. It's all of John 10. No, I lied. 1 through 21, and that's really like, truly, truly, I say to you, you who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Oh, fascinating stuff. So he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So that's, again, telling us to be wary, almost like in that last segment when I was talking about all the different voices that come into our lives, all the different people and in circumstances trying to drive us a certain way away from God, but to make ourselves aware of God's voice, of Jesus's voice, and follow that shepherd. You know, your shepherd, the shepherd has a call, and his sheep know it. No matter where he is, even if there's other sheep around, other shepherds around, and they're calling their flock, somebody who is close by and well attached to his shepherd, well trained, will know when it's your shepherd's voice calling. You know, that's part of that fancy word, a discernment. You know, how do I know what's from God and what's from me and what's from the devil? Like, how do I know what God is asking me to do, what choices to make, what decisions to go with, when there's so many different things barraging me? But knowing your shepherd well, and knowing he has your welfare, your protection, he will tend to you, he's pruning you. Those are all different things that a shepherd does for its sheep, shears them. I use the word pruning because that word is used in the scriptures. When we know that he has our best interest, then we can trust that where he leads us is where we truly need to go, whether we like it or not. And trust is hard, and it takes work. And we're not going to know God's voice if we don't spend any time listening to it or seeking it. And, you know, the sheep don't get born knowing the shepherd's call. It comes from staying close to him, from letting him guide them. Prayer, sacrament, and scripture. I never knew God's voice really clearly. And I mean, there's still times I doubt, but when I doubt the most, I turn to scripture. Yesterday, I was having a really difficult time. I turned to prayer, sacrament, and scripture. All three. You need all three. They're a foundation. It's just having a really difficult time. I've been struggling with this question. I'm not going to go into it today, but this question about that the decisions that we make that can't be undone. You know, that split second decision to see if you can beat the car coming in traffic and being hit. Seeing if, just stupid things that you may have done when you were younger. You know, like I smoked and I took birth control when I was younger. And now I know that increases my chances for cancer. That's frightening to me. Like, I can't go back and undo those things. I was ignorant. I didn't know any better. I didn't understand, you know, contraception at all. Yeah, they give you a pamphlet, but I never read it. I never had anyone telling me the dangers of it, the morality of it, none of it. So I smoked and I took birth control, and I worry about now, what have I done to my body? And even stupid little things, you know, like having this dog with us, little Mikey, and he had a tick, and I kind of panicked, and I knew I needed tweezers, but I went looking for them and I couldn't find them. It was 5:30 in the morning. I was just freaking out. I wanted to get the tick off. And instead of being patient and doing it correctly, I left him with a little, I'm sure I left the head of the tick in his head, his little body. And it was making me crazy. It's not my dog. I can't believe I did this. I felt bad that I even got a tick on him. Do you see what my brain does? Spaghetti, right? I can't be the only one. I just can't be the only one who just plays this stuff over and over and over in my head. And I really needed the shepherd to just pick me up and throw me over his shoulders to lead me, to guide me, to help me to see, you know, to see what's going on. So I went to adoration just to, you know, that's, you know, step number one, sacrament. Get myself to adoration. Step number two, I was praying, Lord, give me your guidance. Give me your grace. Step number three, got out my scripture, got out the Bible. We actually have a Navarre Bible, N-A-V-A-R-R-E. I am sure I'm saying it wrong. Navarre Bible that has really beautiful commentaries from St. Maria, Jose Maria Escriva. Yeah, hello, brain. St. Jose Maria Escriva. And just beautiful, very, he was a spiritual director, so you to lay people. So his writing really, just like St. Francis de Sales, really speaks to me as a lay person, as a not religious person. Well, I am a religious person, but not as an ordained person or in person in religious life, but somebody who lives their life in everyday, ordinary circumstances. And the Lord gently brought me through the scriptures and landed me on 1 Peter 5. And it wasn't until this morning, and I spent the whole time reading it, and it's really all about trust, humility, and trusting in the Lord, humble obedience. Today, I'm preparing for this talk with you this morning, and I opened up my Didache Bible, because at some point there, I was looking on the internet, I think, for where the sheep shepherd viruses verses in the Bible. And 1 Peter 5 was given. And I open it up, and here's a God sentence for today. This is crazy, crazy off the charts awesomeness. The title in this Bible, the Didache Bible of 1 Peter 5, tending the flock of Christ. Yep. So the Lord sent me there yesterday for, you know, a good 30 minutes. And I know I'm very blessed. My kids are all grown up and I get to go to, and one's off to school all day. So I get to have these hour long time with him in adoration. But even 5 minutes, I think, would have done it for me yesterday. He can work miracles in 2 minutes, let me tell you. And just to see this, that he does care. Tend the flock of God that is your charge, not by constraint, but willingly. This is in the scriptures. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not as domineering over those in charge, but being examples it to the flock. You know, that might have been more specifically to me as, you know, being that sheepdog. But then he goes on to say, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humility, Jose Maria Escriva says, is the doorway to God's graces to pour in. And then one of my favorite lines in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Be sober and vigilant, watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, souls to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures. He watches over me. He fills my thirst for him, for righteousness, for spiritual well-being. He puts me over his shoulders when I'm broken. He cares. I hope that you will spend some time in your own prayer time the next day or two reading Psalm 23, reading 1 Peter 5 and John 10. Good stuff, my friends. Really, really good stuff. And I also know, please know that you're in my prayers if you have any specific prayer request, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, or you can go visit me at Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on Facebook. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.